How many children here are so excited for Christmas? Raise your hands. I know, I see the adults raising their hands too. Well, believe it or not, pastors were children too. We weren't born with suits or shiny shoes or all those types. We were born just like you were. We were just as anxious for Christmas to come as you were. In fact, in my house, my parents had to hold us down at 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning from wanting to go downstairs and see what was there. I remember one particular Christmas when my dad had been up to about probably 4:30 or 5 o'clock just putting together two bikes for us. So he had just gotten to sleep, and we woke up to see if we could go in and go down a little earlier. So we nudged my dad, who number one was very tired, and number two, my dad had a touch of narcolepsy. He could carry on a conversation while he's sleeping. And so he said, Dad, he said, yes. I said, Dad, can we go downstairs yet? He said, sure, go ahead. But Dad, don't you want to go down first? No, we'll be right down. You go ahead on down. Dad, are you sure? Yeah, go ahead, go on down. What do you do? Okay. My brother and I went downstairs. I was maybe about 7 at the time. He was about 10, and we got down, and we each would have a chair with all kinds of toys around it. Boy, we saw these toys. We dug into those. We played with those. We were shouting with glee, and we got under the tree. We were opening presents. Oh, it's clothes. Throw those over. Anyway, all this kind of stuff we did, we just unwrapped everything, and about an hour later, we're kind of sitting there, all this mess around us. My parents came downstairs. My dad said, what are you boys doing down here? I said, but Dad, we woke you, we talked to you, we asked you, you said we could come down. And he realized what had happened. He said, okay, you two boys, you march right upstairs, you come down those stairs and look just as excited as you did the first time you came down. It's all about timing. It's all about time and the time of our lives, the time of eternity, the time of human history. Did you know there was a time when there was no time? In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God. Well, before there was a beginning, there was God. The eternal God, the always God. Even before what we call time, there was a timeless God. Psalm 93:2 says, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. He always was and always will be. God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. Revelation 1:8, God speaks of himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Moses used a very simple but profound analogy when he said in Psalm 90, verse 4, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by or a watch in the night. 2 Peter 3:8 echoes that timeless truth. But do not forget this one thing, he says, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. To the timeless God, a second is no different than an eon. 1 billion years pass like seconds. The timeless God is above and beyond and outside the sphere of time. There was no time before God, but there is time because of God. God chose to establish time when he created his universe. In Genesis 1, we read of God's creative work with each phase placed into time with the words, and there was evening and there was morning, another day. The timeless God chose to establish time when he created the universe and to also flow and act within his created time frames. It's about time. We see this in his creation. We see this in his established movement of the universe. We see this in the seasons and in the cycles of his created nature. We see this when each spring flower opens and when a baby is timely born, even if it's 2 weeks later. It's about time. God was present in earth's time as he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. God was present in his earth time as we read of his leading his people throughout all the Old Testament scriptures. And God spoke to his people, to the world, time and time again, that the time would come when he would send a Messiah, the deliverer, the Savior, to the world. In God's word, we find some messianic predictions, some 3,000 Bible verses to talk about them. It's all about time. And after all the promises spoken over thousands of years, there was then a silence we even referred to earlier, a 400-year silence between the last words of the Old Testament book of Malachi and the new words of the New Testament Gospels was a span of time of 400 years. 400 years of silence. Time went on, but there was no word of the time or any time when God's Messiah or Savior would come. As you heard just read from Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as children. But when the fullness of time had come, meaning when the time had fully come, when God's planned time to send the Messiah Savior had come, God sent his Son. It was time. The time had come. It's about time. We see God's continuing movement in scriptures in time as the angel Gabriel then appears on the earth to an elderly man and woman named Zechariah and Elizabeth, telling them that they would have a child, even in their older age, to be named John, and he would introduce the Messiah Savior to the world. We see God's continued movement in time as the same angel Gabriel appears in the earth time to an engaged man named Joseph and a virgin fiance named Mary, telling them they would be the birth parents of the Messiah Savior. We see God's continued movement in time as for some supposedly obscure reason, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus decided that a census at that time should just be taken of the entire Roman world, which meant that everyone had to go to their own town to register, which meant that Joseph, with a very expectant Mary, had to travel some 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, probably a 7 to 10 day journey. And we see them on pictures always on a donkey, but we're not sure of that. A lot of it was walking, I'm sure. But this is just another example of God's timing and fulfillment, as Bethlehem was a city of David where the Messiah had to be born to fulfill one of those 3,000 prophecies. We see God's movement in time one night as shepherds are watching over their flocks by night, and a shining angel appeared to them and announced that the Messiah, Savior, had been born, and they would find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. We see God's continued movement in time when King Herod heard that some kings had arrived in Jerusalem and were seeking to worship a king that a star had led them to worship. In Matthew 2:7-8, it says, then Herod called those magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. And the magi found the child, but they were instructed not to report to Herod, but to go home another way. And Herod was so infuriated and concerned that this supposed new king would desire his throne that, remembering the times the Magi had talked about the star and the time they had been traveling, he ordered that all male children 2 years old and under be killed. Joseph and Mary were also instructed to escape before the search and the killing began. We see God's continued movement in time some 30 years after that, when John the Baptizer saw Jesus approaching and proclaimed, behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's about time. The eternal God who was before and above all time and space, so loved the world and loved us, so loved you and me, that he chose to create and move within earth time for us. And in that time, at that time, God gave the world the greatest gift that could ever be given, the gift of his Son, his only Son, sent to love and teach and do miracles and healings and ultimately to die. To die for our sins as a gift for our forgiveness. So we could invite him into our hearts and lives as our personal Savior and Lord. So we could receive and experience the gifts of God's complete forgiveness and cleansing. So we could receive the gift of being born anew as God's eternal children. So we could receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit within us as our friend and guide every day. So we could know now that when we breathe our last breath, we have eternal life in heaven with Jesus forever. It's about time. God's time for us. God's time for you and for me, that the eternal God not only took the time, but created and submitted himself to earth time for you and me. And tonight we pause to reflect on God's loving time for us. And tonight is a good time to respond to God's loving time for us. So in response, what time is it? Well, first, it's about time to receive. If you haven't yet responded to the God who created and moved in time for you, then it's about time. It's about time you responded to and received that gift of God's love by praying to God, by inviting his gift, his son Jesus, into your heart as your Savior and your friend. And in doing so, you will also receive God's gifts of forgiveness, cleansing, rebirth, companionship in heaven, and eternal life with the one who moved in the time of eternity for you. If you haven't yet responded to the God who created and moved in time for you and loves you so much, it's about time to receive that gift. Secondly, it's about time to trust and rejoice. As you read through the accounts of that first Christmas, you read that the people involved were in the midst of a lot of confusion and challenges in and around their lives because of what God was bringing about. We read about it in Zechariah. We read about Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph. Oh, what a turmoil, the time they were in. Yet despite their confusion and their uncertainty, it is amazing how they trusted and how they broke out in praise to God, rejoiced in him. How about you? I'm sure you also, even right now, have some times of confusion and challenge swirling around in your life. Maybe you just don't know what's going on. Most everybody has times like that, even at Christmas time. I always get a kick out of the Hallmark movies. The Christmas movies, they always say, well, you know, miracles happen at Christmas. And I keep yelling at the TV, ask my wife, not just at Christmas. God is a God of the everyday, of all the time. But the good news of Christ is, of Christmas is, that God is with you. God is for you. You can trust him, and you can rejoice in the timeless God who loves you and has time for you. No matter what you're going through, the good news of Christmas is that the timeless God is still as powerful and as present in your life. No matter where you are in your life, in this present time, God has time for you. Think about it. The eternal God, though timeless and eternal, is in this time with you right now. He's not the man upstairs that you got to try to reach up to, but right here in this and in every moment with you. Because he's in this and every moment, he can, he will, and he does respond to our needs and our prayers. I want you to say something for me. I want you to say out loud, fear not. God has time for me. A very famous movie is A Charlie Brown Christmas. How many know that movie? I hope you know that. That's a wonderful movie. In the movie, Charlie Brown sports his striped shirt, and Linus carries his ever-popular security blanket. And throughout the story of Peanuts, Lucy and Snoopy, Sally and all the others seem to no avail to try to separate Linus from his blanket, and even though his security blanket remains a major source of ridicule, he simply refuses to give it up. Matter of fact, sometimes he uses it to defend himself. Later in that movie, Charlie Brown is frustrated and yells, I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? And you know the scene. Linus responds in his little voice, sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. Now, I want you to see something that happens. In that movie, it was written into this, and they finally found out it was intentional. It says, and the angel said to them, as Linus is standing there, the angel said to them, fear not. He drops the blanket. Watch it, and you'll see. Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, for which shall be to all people, for unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. He walks over and says, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Isn't that neat? The Peanuts originator, Charles Schulz, was a Christian, and he wove encouraging Christian themes in his works. And this movie scene, I really believe, he was saying, it's so simple and it's so brilliant. The good news is that the good gift of the Son Savior is so timely and so powerful that it can comfort us beyond anything else. It is the true comfort. Because God had time for us, we can heed the angel's call to fear not, and instead trust in the God who always has time for us. God's gift in the birth of Jesus allows us to drop any other things we're trying to hold on to for security and to grasp tightly to God himself instead. A story about a little child that had gone to Sunday school and came home. The mommy said, Tommy, what'd you learn today? He said, well, let's see. Don't worry, you'll get the blanket. She said, what? She said, think about it again. He said, yeah, it was, don't worry, you'll get the blanket. So she decided to call the Sunday school teacher and said, you know, he said that you taught him a story on don't worry, you get the blanket. And the teacher chuckled. She said, well, he was close. It was, fear not, the comforter cometh. And when you get it, that the eternal God always has time for you and is in time with you, you can also respond as Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah did. Even in your deepest trying times, they broke out in praise to a faithful God. It's about time to trust and rejoice in him. And thirdly, it's about time to spend more time with the God who has time for you. The whole reason that God gave the gift of his Son so that we could have a new and daily eternal relationship with him and him with us. Make the time to grab a Bible or a devotional or online devotion to spend time with God every day who has time for you. Make the time to come to worship and worship the eternal God who always has time for you. Make the time to get into a Bible study in a small group where you can be loved and accepted and encouraged and where you will grow in knowing the God who has time for you. It's about time to spend more time with the God who has time for you. I'll promise you something. If you make that time, if you do spend more time with the God who has time for you, you will have a deeper peace and joy in your life that you've never known about. I promise that. It's about time. It's about time to marvel in how the eternal and timeless God chose to create and move in earth time because of his love for us, his desire to have a personal relationship with us. It's about time to receive his gift of eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's about time to trust and to rejoice in the God who will never leave you or forsake you. It's about time to spend more time with the God who has time for you. As you leave this evening, we have a special gift for you. We made a little, it's a paper, heavy paper clock. See, a Christmas clock. It has a hanger for your tree. We have one for everyone. Please, everyone, take one. They'll be in the baskets as you leave. On the back it says, it's about time. God's time for you, your time with him. May this constantly remind you that God always has time for you. God broke into and created time so he could be with you and have you and love you and care for you. It's all about time. He created it and he works in it. And maybe it's about time you gave him more time because he gives you all the time you need with him. Let us pray. Father God, as we reflect on the wonderful scriptures, Lord, about time and you're being before it and you being eternal and you're creating it and you're, Lord, working in it and what you did in time and you're doing in time and how you always have time for us and you're in the time of our lives, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to truly marvel about it, to receive you as our Savior that came in this time, to trust and rejoice in a God who is always there to care for us and love us, and to spend more time with you, our God, who always has time for us. May we continue to do that as we reflect and we rejoice this Christmas on the time of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's people say, amen.